are you all doing? Excellent. Yes, I had a very productive day today. I got a lot done. Got to interact with a number of you guys virtually. And tonight's presentation is an unusual one for a health series. But I want to ensure that you understand tonight that it's no less important than the food you eat. So you need to pay close attention tonight. And if you're in a relationship or you're planning to be in a relationship, you need to pay attention. Let me see the hands of all those who are in a relationship. Okay, I guess you all misunderstand what I mean by relationship. All right, so I got you there. So, you know, the relationships we're going to talk about tonight aren't just marriages and engagements. They are brother and sister relationships, parent and child relationships, church brother and church sister relationships. All of these are relationships that will affect your health in one way or another, in a positive or a negative light. So everybody, I hope, is in a relationship. Let me ask the question again. Let me see the hands of those who are in a relationship. All right, excellent. So this presentation tonight is for everybody. All right. Now we're going to talk about a number of things tonight. And we're going to talk about specifically how to make your relationships better. So if you have an imperfect relationship, understand that that may be a source of not just stress and hurt and pain, but a source of disease for you. Yes, so many of my patients who come to me will, after much coaxing, reveal that one of the major areas of their life where they have problems is in their relationships. And when I analyze the problems they have, there is often a direct correlation with the health problems that they're facing. So in trying to be comprehensive in this series, I thought it important not to just focus on food and exercise and supplements, but on everything that could affect your health. And tonight we're going to teach you how to fix your relationships. Tomorrow night, you can miss, but you want to focus tonight. Tomorrow night, we're talking about food and how to use food as medicines, which is what we've been talking about. So if you're going to miss any night, it's tomorrow night, right? But of course, tomorrow night is going to be very, very interesting, and I have some new data to show you, some new interesting things to show you about health. And here is a question for tonight. The size, meaning the weight of your friends, can influence your weight even if you don't know them. Yes or no? All right. So we're going to talk about that later on. It's now time for a health pledge. And we're going to stand again and see if we can do a little better tonight. Let us all stand. Let's go after three. One, two, three. I am. My body. Therefore, by caring for myself, I daily we're going to do this again. I think you missed a couple lines. All right. After three, one, two, three. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was bought with a price. Body is the temple of God. Therefore, by caring for myself, I daily increase in wisdom, stature, and in favor with man and God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we are asking for your healing power tonight, to heal the many divisions that exist in our churches, in our families, in our workplaces, in the various eras of our lives where we have relationships. Father God, tonight we pray for the spirit of love and forgiveness to come into and reside in the heart of every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let us get into our story tonight. Now, a study was done that shows that the friends you have can influence your weight. Your friend's weight can also influence your weight, even if you don't know that friend. So if your very good friend has a friend who is overweight, that friend increases your risk of being overweight, because habits are adapted and influence the persons who you associate with, and their habits influence you and your habits influence them. Equally, if you have a friend that's very fit, that increases your chance of being fit. Does that make sense? Yes, if you have a friend that's always exercising, at some point you might pick up that healthy habit. And that friend's friend, who may be a Premier League player, is going to influence your exercise relationship. And so, as far back as in the Bible, we see stories of how associations can influence the outcome of your life. And in this instance, the story here in 1 Kings is a story of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, as you may know, was the son of King Solomon, and he was to inherit the kingdom after Solomon had died. And Solomon died, and he became king. And when he became king, the people, we are told, came to him and said, you know, your father really was a good king, but we suffered. We had to pay heavy taxes and do a lot of work to make sure that, you know, the kingdom was, you know, doing very well. And so we want you to lighten the burden, reduce the amount of taxes and the amount of work we have to do so that we can get a little break. And as a wise king, he said, okay, I'll consider the matter and get back to you. And so he went and he consulted. He consulted with the wise men, the older men, and they said, yes, you should listen to the people. You know, don't be as strict as your father was. They will love you for it. He went and consulted with the young men who were his peers, who he played ball with. And they said, no, you got to be a strong king like your father. You're going to be even stronger than your father. So don't listen to anybody. Make their burdens even heavier. Exact more taxes from them. And they will respect you. And you will rule strong. And so he listened to the voice of his friends. And the people came back to him for the answer. And he was very harsh with them. And to cut a long story short, as a result of how he answered, based on the advice of his friends, he lost more than 3/4 of the kingdom. People left and the kingdom divided in two. The northern 10 tribes became a separate kingdom, and he was only left with 2 of 12 tribes in the south. And he didn't rule very well. Listening to the wrong advice, associating with the wrong people, lost him most of his inheritance, and almost lost the entire kingdom. The relationships that we get into, to a large extent, will determine the outcome of our lives and can even determine your salvation. You can lose your salvation by being in friendship, in marriage, in association with the wrong group of people. So relationships are very important. Ellen White says, great care should be taken by Christian youth. I'm talking to Riva now and other people who are here. In the formation of friendships and in the choice of companions, take heed lest what you now think to be pure gold turn out to be base metal. Worldly association tend to place obstructions in the way of your service to God, and many souls are ruined by unhappy unions, either business or matrimonial, with those who can never elevate or ennoble. You're seeing this picture again because we have found that chronic illnesses like heart disease and cancers, high blood pressure, diabetes, can be healed by fixing your relationships, improving the quality of connections you have with those around you. If you have supportive relationships, that could make sure that your body behaves in a healthy way. We have been able to trace the impact of relationship down to what we call the expression of DNA in your body. Your genes that you inherit are partially controlled by the type of relationships that you get into. The bacteria in your gut, which I hinted at, is going to be determined by the people you hang around with, and what they eat will influence what bacteria is in your gut. Relationships are very, very important. Across the world where we see these long-living people, we find that there is always a close-knit community. Isolation and loneliness is a risk factor for early death. But when you have great relationships, even in these areas where we find people are not necessarily vegans, aren't always eating the most healthy foods, when they have a close-knit community, they tend to live longer. We have found that if you have a strict vegan who has no friends and eats alone and doesn't enjoy their food, the health it gives to their body is significantly diminished. And when you compare their longevity to somebody who goes to Burger King every weekend but goes with a bunch of friends, they live longer. So if you look at those logics, maybe the relationships may be even more important than the food. Who you eat with is just as or more important than what you eat. Hope these facts are getting into your system. Now, I met a lady. She was about 86, and when I met her, she was in prime health, and she was brought to me by her son, who said, you know, she isn't sick, but she just lost her husband and want her to get a checkup to make sure that she doesn't have any major problems, because, you know, people who have been married for long years, once one dies, soon after the other one tends to follow, even if they weren't sick. You know that, right? Yes. So this lady, who was 86, very intelligent, sat in my office and we had a conversation. So, and I like to talk to these old people because it's always my intention to get from them some pearl, some gem as to how did you live to this age. So she came in for a checkup. I was more interested in finding out what her secret was. So that was my intention. Because, you know, based on just looking at her, she seemed to be quite fine. But we did a checkup. But the conversation was what I was interested in. So I engaged her in a conversation. I said, tell me about, you know, your husband. And she was so willing. She said, Doc, when I was 16 years old in my community, this young man saw me and said to me, I'm going to marry you. And he was in his 20s. And he said, a few weeks after, the young man came to her house and spoke to her father and asked for her hand in marriage. And when they were 18, they got married. That was in Jamaica. And he said, Doc, I could not have asked for a better husband. He said, since I was 18 and now I'm 86, we have been married. We've had 6 children. And we have had the perfect relationship. She said, Doc, he was a farmer. And for 6 months each year, he would leave Jamaica and go overseas to do what we call farm work. He'd go to the U.S. to work on farms. And for the 6 months that he would be gone, I'd be at home taking care of the kids and taking care of everything. And when he comes back home, everything he works, he'd put into my hand to take care of everything. I took care of him and he took care of me. He said, Doc, if he goes to the farm and comes home and says, I don't remember what her name was now. He says, I need you, means that he wanted some intimacy. He says, if she was cooking, she would take the pot off the fire, set it down, go and satisfy her husband and come back and finish cooking when she was done. She said, nothing he wanted, he didn't get, and nothing she wanted, he didn't get. She said, she lived to please her husband and he lived to please her. So they never thought about what was best for each. They thought about what was best for the other person. She said that the day he died was an interesting day. He said, I realized that he didn't get out of bed at the 6 a.m. that he usually get out, because he was never sick. He was a few years older than her. He was into his 90s by this time. No, he said he didn't get out of bed. So I went in the bedroom and said, you know, are you feeling okay? Do you want some tea? He said, no, come and lie down beside me. And she laid beside him and they talked. She said for about half an hour. And she said, I'm going to go make some tea and come back. He said, no, just stay and talk to me a little bit. And she said, she's talked to him another 15 minutes. Then she got up and went and made the tea and came back in there. And they sat and she had the tea and they talked for a few minutes. And he was still in the bed, lying down. She said she came back in there and asked him if he wasn't coming out. And he said, soon come out, man. Just come lay down beside me a little more. And for the third time, she went and spent a few minutes with him. And she said she went and came back. When she came back, he was gone. He just left peacefully. And she said, from the day they were married to that day, they never had an argument. She lived to please him, and he lived to please her. There was no selfishness. There was only selflessness. And from that made me really emotional, hearing her story. There was a lot more detail. But relationships can be perfect if people are less selfish, if people are more willing to put the other person first. Think about what your partner wants. In the book of Romans, it is said that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I want to translate that to this scenario. It was God who loved us first. He thought about what we wanted, what was good for us. With the half chance that some of us might acknowledge his goodness and turn around and love him. And for most of us who are here, that's exactly how it happened. And we have this good relationship because somebody stepped out first to show love. Now, while she didn't read Dr. Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, she and her husband seemed to have understood exactly what love meant. So tonight we're going to spend a few minutes to go through what I think is the best text written ever about how to love somebody the way they want to be loved. Now, this book, The Five Love Languages, have you heard of it? Yes, if you've had counseling in marriage, you must have read about this book. But so many of us hear about it, know about it, but never implement. And tonight, we're going to review it because I think it's relevant to not just marriages, but to church brother and church sisters, to parents and their children. The application is universal. So to love somebody, it's not about what you want, it's about what they want. That's how a person feels loved. And this applies to everybody. So your role in a relationship is to find out what is it your partner wants. What is your partner's, what is your daughter's, what is your son's love language? So there are five love languages. The first one is called words of affirmation. There are some persons who like to hear positive words about themselves. They like to be complimented, and that to them may be more than money or gifts. And if you're married to such a person, you have such a child, that would be the best thing you would ever do for that person. For a person with this love language, it's important when you say, I love you, I care about you. Do you feel good and appreciated when receiving genuine compliments? Is that you? Do you feel like something is missing in a relationship if positive words are not expressed? There are some people, like me, who my wife said, I love you on our day of marriage, and she doesn't need to tell me again. I don't need to hear it. I know. So if she doesn't tell me I love you, it's not a problem to me. For her, it's a different thing. She wants to hear it every day. It's like she, yesterday's I love you doesn't come over into today. So, and if you don't do that based on who your partner is, I may feel fine not hearing it, but she feels as if I don't love her anymore. So you have to identify, is that your partner's love language? Do you put on a nice dress and is just waiting for your partner to say something and nothing comes and you feel as if, you know, you're not appreciated? So you need to identify. And you need to, if your love language is not known by your partner, you need to tell them. Parents, observe your children and find out what their love language is. And there are lots of things here that you could go through to identify if this is you. But you could go through them as I'll post in the group. So this one we just did. For words of affirmation, there are some key words that you're going to be using if that's your partner's love language. You're going to be speaking to them positive words, encouraging words, complimenting them continuously, and that definitely takes the place of anything else that you could do. Interestingly, persons who have that love language may find using affirmations themselves to boost their own confidence and to make sure that you feel loved by yourself. One of the greatest things that you could do for yourself is love yourself. Appreciate yourself. Appreciate the things about you that are unique. And when you speak positive words over your life, constantly, they actually change your mind and your attitude and your habits. Words are powerful. And if we repeat positive words over our lives continuously, anybody this applies to, it will make sure that you are a better and stronger person. The psalm has some positive words. It says, God says to us, for you were formed, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. These are positive words that we can repeat over ourselves to appreciate how wonderful and beautiful you are. You are unique, and regardless of the problems that you may experience, you are indeed a miracle. Song of Solomon was well known for positive words being shared between partners, and the relationship between him and the person in the book was a beautiful one, and I think primarily because of the words that were shared. Solomon was not shy in being very descriptive and open in how he felt about what he saw. And this is sometimes lacking. No, it's not lacking here, you know. I see many wonderful relationships blossoming here, I've been observing. The other love language that is worthy of note is what we call acts of service. And this one is me, right? I don't mind if my birthday comes and you don't say happy birthday to me. But I really take note of a wonderful dinner that you could cook for me. I take note of you doing something, ironing my shirt, or doing things that show that you took time out to show appreciation for me. That's my love language. And that's the love language of many men. Women many times have words of affirmation. So men, take note. Your wife wants to hear many times how you feel. You going out and working and taking her money is not necessarily seen as an act of love, even though you think that's the way you show love. That's not necessarily how she appreciates love. So acts of service is a common love language among many people, but it's mine. It's important to you that someone helps you with tasks that without you asking. Important. Do you appreciate when people take initiative to make you your life easier, such as with household chores? And so some women really do appreciate this when they don't have to tell the men to take the trash out or to wash the dishes. So if that's your partner's love language, then you need to do that. But if her love language is words of affirmation, don't waste a lot of money buying expensive gifts. That will not make her feel loved. You need to give your partner, him or her, or your child what they want. There are some ideas here that I have put in the presentation, so you could go through this if you're struggling to find what can I do for my partner as an act of service to show them that I appreciate and love them. And you see, these simple things are the reason why many relationships fall apart. Because these simple things are not well understood and aren't implemented. So offer to help them out with work or a social project. Hand deliver their favorite food when they are craving. Offer to walk their pet. Make them a cup of coffee in the morning. You know, I have a few good friends, and those few good friends are people who understand me and I understand them. So they understand that, you know, at random they turn up to my office with a bottle of coconut water. That to me is the highlight of my day. Some friends love when I call and encourage and pray with them. That's the highlight of their day. So when you have people who you do for them things they appreciate, even I have friends who I see maybe once every 5 years, but they are bosom friends because of the relationship we share, because of what we mean to each other and what we have done for each other over the years. There are some persons whose love language is receiving of gifts. And that is my wife's second love language. So I have to make sure that when I leave Europe, there is something tangible in the suitcase going home. Otherwise, it's screw face. The Jamaicans will understand what I mean by that, you know. All right. So, but there are persons who do not place much value on receiving gifts. An expensive watch, an expensive dress doesn't mean much. So it is pointless to be buying these gifts. And so you have many men who are affluent and well off and would buy their wife a expensive car and then find out later that she cheats on him because the expensive gift wasn't what she wanted. She wanted some time. Are we getting it here? So it's not what you want to give. It's what the person places value on. So you have to study or just ask your partner what it is that makes them feel loved. This is very simple. And I sit in my office and I go through this over and over again with my patients. Because as a functional medicine doctor, this is what we do. We try to understand the root cause of illnesses. And if the root cause is a relationship problem, then you're not going to get a prescription from me. You're going to get a good talk. And I'm going to call your partner on the phone and ask them to come in with you next time. And then we're going to have a talk. So that's why I love my job, because I get to fix problems. And when we fix problems like these, of course, the blood pressure will go down. because you're going to sleep better. So not every blood pressure problem needs a blood pressure medication. Some just need somebody warm in the bed beside you at night to hug you and tell you they love you. That's the solution for many problems. And so many of you are treating the problem from the wrong perspective, and so you'll be treating forever. And so this is another prescription tool in my cabinet that I often take out, and I really have to draw for this almost every single day. And so if you are from Jamaica, you'll know that when you come to my office, the wait time may be 2 or 3 hours because I might have a patient that comes in and I have to give them a long talk. All right. So if you're love language giving gifts, then you might find that you appreciate when someone surprises you with a thoughtful gift, even if it's not expensive. You feel more love when receiving a personalized gift versus a generic one. You know, so I have some friends who love gifts, and I'm very good on the computer, so I'll go on the computer and I'll do a card and put their name on it and something nice about them and with their picture, and wow, that's the best gift they ever got. Yes, I've heard those comments because, you know, I take a little time out to understand what they love. And then there are persons who that will not mean anything. That's all they could afford to give me. Dr. Thomas, you are making so much money. Is that all? They wouldn't say it, but that's what they're thinking. So I know who to do those things for. And your partner may be saying the same thing too. Yes? You go and buy a card and it's pretty and write up in it. Your partner, oh, it's nice. But in their mind, they're saying, oh my God, he's so cheap. So know exactly who you're dealing with and respond appropriately. All right, so we're going through some great gift ideas. So when coming here, a friend of mine gave me a coat because they knew I was coming here. And so that was very practical. I like practical things. I don't like pretty things that are not useful. So that is very memorable. And when I got here, I got another one, you know, from a very special person here. And so, you know, she's not getting it back. I don't know if she did want it back, but she's not getting it back. And I'm going to appreciate it for the rest of my life. All right. Is your love language quality time? And this is a very important one. And nothing can replace this. If that's your love language, there's nothing that's going to replace it. You know, and this often applies to children too, you know. So some children just want some time with daddy more than they'd want that new car or that new ball. And if you don't understand that and that child keeps getting the expensive gifts and never gets time with daddy, that child grows up feeling unloved with inability to express emotions. They have difficulty in relations because they did not feel loved. Some children want to be hugged and kissed. Some want time, some want gifts. So you need to find out exactly what your child want, parents, and give them that. Otherwise, they'll grow up to resent you, even though you thought you were doing the best for them. It's very important. I have so many adults in my practice who I talk to, and their problems stem from when they were children. They grew up in a home where they were never hugged and kissed because their parents weren't those type of parents, but that's what they wanted. And many of those persons end up now being in many relationships because they're searching for somebody to give them what they never got as a child. So how you treat your children will impact their future life. And many, you know, chronic illnesses stem from this. Quality time promotes genuine understanding, ability to talk, establish trust and reliability, turns everyday moments into treasures. And the quality time is not quantity time. Let me make that clear. So it's not the amount of hours you spend, it's the quality of the time. So you could spend, so men, listen, women who want quality time don't want all your day. They know you have to work. They know you have to go out and, you know, save the world. But for that 20 minutes that you have, put down the phone, turn off the television, put away the newspaper and listen to her and respond sensibly. Give her undivided attention. Let her feel in that 20 minutes she's the most important person in the world. That's what I mean by quality time. Females, you agree? Of course. So you don't need to spend 2 hours sitting with her talking. That's not necessary most of the time. And men, let me tell you a secret. If you do that, later on it's very, very good for you. You know what I'm talking about? Right, females? I don't hear the females answering. Yes, so say boost honest communication and makes your partner feel special. So yes, so when your female feels as if she is the most important person in the world to you, then you, half of your problems are solved. You don't need to worry about getting a good dinner. You don't need to worry about getting anything done because she knows she's number one. Yeah? And the quality time may be that you're having a busy day and you call and you spend 2 minutes on the phone and say, I'm very busy, but I just thought about you, wanted to make sure that, you know, you're okay. It took a minute or 2 minutes to make a call to make sure she knows. Women want to know that you're thinking about them. You know, you're not thinking about them 24/7, but at least at some point, she must cross your mind. And when she does, call her, even for a few minutes. That means a lot. That makes a difference between a sad relationship with no connection and one in which partners feel appreciated and loved. These are very simple things that we can do this year. Very, very important. Quality time with your kids. Again, same thing. It's not just okay to be at home, they're on their tablet, you're on your phone, and you're there and say, I'm spending time. No, that's not spending any time. In the moment that you spend with your kids, make them be the center of your attention. We are talking about health, right? We are still on topic. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about health. So give quality time to your partner. Set limits on technology. We've been saying that. Plan something new and different. Listen. Make eye contact. Focus on quality, not quantity, and develop a routine. So women especially need to know that, okay, every Thursday night, our night, we're going to go to this place down the road. It's going to cost us £5. It doesn't have to cost you 150. And we're going to have a nice treat. And we're going to talk for 20, 25 minutes. And that will break up the monotony and get rid of the anger and resentment that may be building in a relationship. And the final one is physical touch. A lot more men have this one than women, but it goes across the board. Physical touch is one love language, and some persons will not care about hearing words or getting gifts. They want to be hugged, kissed, and be intimate, and that's how they feel loved. And if that's your partner, you got to make the time to do that. So do you feel more love when receiving physical affection from your loved one? Whether it be a massage, a head rub, or they come and lie on the couch on top of your leg. Those things make strong connections. They help to form strong bonds. Do you instinctively crave physical closeness like hugs and cuddling and hand-holding? Some people I find don't want to hold hands. Some people love holding hands. So figure out what kind of partner you have and make sure that you fall in line with doing what they love to do. And you'll have all of this to go through. Martin Luther said, let the wife make the husband glad to come home and let him make her feel sorry to see him leave. So there's a role for both persons. So in my country, I don't know if it happens here. Here you have lots of pubs about the place. But Jamaica is known for having the most churches per square mile and the most bars per square mile. I think up here you guys are really baby running close competition with us, right? And a lot of men frequent these places, men who are supposed to be home with their wives and kids. But they find the pubs and the bars to be more friendly, more less threatening environments than being at home. And that's a tragedy. And threatening being that they are criticized, frowned upon, they are not, you know, respected, they are talked down to. And so a lot of men prefer going to the pub than to go home. You know what I'm talking about. So the wife have a responsibility to make sure that the home has to be a more comfortable and engaging and lovely place than the pub. And it's not that hard. It just takes a little thought. And the husbands need to make sure that when they do get home, the wives are given the attention and the time they need so that when it's time for you to go, they are jumping all over you and holding on to you and don't want you to leave. So both partners have to try to employ these simple techniques that I'm teaching tonight. And that will solve many of the health problems that you face. Now, it is well known in Chinese medicine, and this has been studied and well known worldwide. In Chinese medicine, the breast is said to be the organ of emotion. So a woman bears her emotions through her breast. It's the organ through which she makes connection with her unborn child, or with her young child, sorry. And when a woman is stressed, disease of the breast, according to Chinese medicine, manifests through the breast. And it is well thought in Chinese medicine that breast cancer is a manifestation of long-standing relationship problems, hurts, and more importantly, when a woman is unforgiving. So if you... I've done this poll anecdotally over and over again and interviewed my patients who have had breast cancer, and I can tell you, majority of them can relate to you some deep-seated emotional hurts, relationships that we're in that led up to major long-term mental illnesses, depression and anxiety, and eventually breast cancer was a manifestation. So relationship problems can cause disease, and fixing them can help to fix disease. There are some basic things that are going to be universally helpful. Holding hands for everybody is very, very important because it helps with the release of what we call talked about last night, oxytocin. So holding hands has been clinically shown to improve blood pressure, reduce pain, boost self-esteem, connection, improve memory. So if you're lonely and isolated, you're going to be developing dementia faster. If you have human connection and you simply touch somebody regularly, have you ever been stressed and down and somebody rests their hand on you, you instantly almost start feeling better? We do it instinctively without understanding that we are transferring energy and we are changing the blood chemistry of persons by the act of touch. Yes? Touch is very important. It is therapeutic. It makes you more brilliant if you hold hands. It relaxes the muscles in your body, improves blood flow to your brain. It reduces stress hormones like cortisol, which can rob your brain of important nutrients. Yes, cortisol, you know, tears everything apart to produce glucose. And holding hands can reduce that and increase endorphins. Hugs Again, very therapeutic. So even if your love language is not physical touch, a 20-second hug, yes, and your hugs need to be 20 seconds or more to get the oxytocin at the level where it's clinically relevant. It does a lot for your body to strengthen your immune system, make us more patient. And they have experimented, I told last night, with an oxytocin spray for men under their tongues, and they have shown that it helps them to be more empathetic, more patient, more calm, and more loving. Not sure that will become a widespread medicine, but there is, in fact, usefulness of releasing oxytocin in your body using just the activity of hugging. And of course, this is going to be important for your kids. So are your kids, you know, more on the aggressive side? Showing them love and affection through touching, holding hands, and hugging may be more important than the nerve calming medication that your psychologist or pediatrician may prescribe. Sometimes what these kids need is a loving, nurturing environment with somebody who understands. You know, the old age habit of telling stories and so on will be very helpful here. And of course, sex has its benefits, one of which is to reduce the risk of prostate cancer. So the more sex men have, up to a certain limit, it will reduce your risk of prostate cancer. So women, you have a great role to play to reduce the chance of your man dying prematurely, and even not dying, spending out all the money he's worked and saved for you at the urologist. You have a solution that you can apply regularly. Helps with all of these things. Boost your immune system so you have a stronger immune system, because sex causes the release of various hormones in the body that will improve health. And this is effective for both males and females. So these are simple solutions that we can use to improve our health. You come to love not by finding the perfect person, listen to this carefully, but by seeing an imperfect person perfectly. So getting into a great relationship is not about finding Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. It's about understanding the person you have and treating them the way that they should be treated. And the beauty, everybody has beauty and ugliness inside of them. Your role is to bring out the beauty and to make sure that your relationship is beautiful. The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone, and make for him a suitable, a helper suitable for him. Proverbs through Solomon tells us that the connections we have here each night on Sabbaths is going to make a huge difference in the countenance of the people you come in contact with. But the countenance is what we see outside. But what informs the countenance is what's going on inside. And so you can change the health trajectory, the mental state, the spiritual life of your brothers and sisters by showing them love, care, and affection. Relationships are not an isolated part of your life. It is said that everything affects everything else. And relationships certainly affect every area of your life. My parting words are, your relationships will affect your income, will affect your blood pressure, will affect your sleep. It will affect your spiritual life. It will affect how long you live and the quality of your life. And if you are in relationships, which all of you are, make sure that every relationship becomes a quality relationship by treating the person in that relationship as if they are the most important person to you, because in fact, to every person, they are the most important person, and that's how everybody should be treated. Good night, everybody. That's the end of the presentation.